One Man's Family, brought to you, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, Bactine, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Henry and Paul up in Paul's studio.
Sit down, Dad. I know you must be wondering why I asked you to come up here tonight.
Yes, yes. What's it about, Paul?
I'm afraid it's going to prove disturbing to you.
You have some bad news?
From your standpoint, very.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today.
Ouch!
Burned yourself again, lady?
Oh, yes, and it hurts.
Oh, of course. Even a slight burn has plenty of fire in it, but not for long. Here, bathe that burn surface with Bactine.
Bactine?
That's right. Bactine. Bactine. The new, the modern liquid preparation for burns. Yes, Bactine is a crystal clear liquid. It leaves no stain nor oily film on the skin, but it does relieve the pain of a burn in a hurry and help prevent infection.
Oh, yes. Why, the fiery stinging sensation's almost gone already.
Of course. And Bactine is so easy to apply. Use it freely, full strength. Bathe and cleanse the burn surface completely with Bactine. It is gentle, soothing, and cooling. Bactine helps prevent infection and so promotes healing. Always have a bottle of Bactine handy in your kitchen, ready to bathe those painful burns. Bactine. Bactine. 30 or 70 cents at all drugstores. Remember, for first aid when you burn yourself, bathe the burn with Bactine. Chapter 15, Book 85. Paul Barber sits at his desk in his studio at the top of the family home. There is a fog over San Francisco tonight, and a log is burning in his fireplace. Paul picks up several pages of a letter from his desk. As he is checking their order, he hears a step outside his door.
Oh, come in, Dad. I'll leave the door open. I'm expecting Jack any minute.
Yeah? Jack coming over?
Yes, I asked him to be here, too. Sit down, won't you?
Yes, yes.
I know this must seem somewhat mysterious to you, but I thought we'd have more privacy if we met up here in my studio.
What's it about, Paul?
Jack has something to tell you I'm afraid is going to prove disturbing to you at first, Dad.
Huh?
I say at first because I hope that before we're finished with this little discussion, we'll be able perhaps to make you feel better about it.
Yeah. This is bad news, then?
From your standpoint, it'll be bad news, yes.
The wire's been kept from me until this time.
It hasn't been kept from you. This occurred only today. And because I knew it would upset you, I arranged this meeting so we could break it to you as easily as possible and have time to talk about it calmly and intelligently. And so you won't be anticipating something worse than the actual facts I'll tell you now. It's about Teddy.
Huh? Has something happened to her?
No, Teddy herself is all right.
Well, then there's Elwood and Teddy. The divorce has been granted. Is that it?
Oh, I think I hear Jack coming up the stairs.
Yes, yes. So the end has come at last, eh? I've been clinging to a forlorn hope that something might happen.
Hi.
Oh, come on in, Jack.
Oh, shall I close this door?
Wait. Take that chair there, Jack.
Yeah. How are you tonight, Dad?
Yeah.
I've been trying to prepare Dad to some extent for the news you have to tell him, Jack.
Oh,
I think he knows pretty well what it is, so suppose you launch right into it.
Okay. You remember, Dad, I told you last week that I had filed an answer for Teddy in the divorce proceedings Elwood had instituted.
This never would have been filed if Teddy had so much as crooked her little finger. You know very well that Elwood is still in love with that young lady.
Yeah, well,
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, Dad, there isn't an awful lot to tell you. They had the hearing this afternoon in Marin County. I was there to represent Teddy, and Elwood was granted a divorce.
Yeah.
It was uncontested, so it was pretty routine.
Yeah, routine. That's the attitude people take these days about a serious matter like divorce, routine. It should be a solemn and awesome thing. The dissolution of a marriage is a tragedy, not to be taken lightly.
Well, I didn't mean that any of us was taking it lightly, Dad.
Perhaps not, but your generation has come to accept it as a matter of course. I still defend the point of view that my father had and his father had before him, that the marriage vows were exchanged devoutly in the sight of God, that the union of husband and wife was for all time and could be broken only by death. Yes, yes. Little did I think that I would live to see the day when a member of my family would be a part of such an unholy proceeding. And I can take no solace from the fact that Teddy is not a barber by blood, that she is only your adopted daughter, Fourneau. All these years, I have looked upon her as my granddaughter, with the same love and with the same pride as if she had been born into this family.
I understand how you feel, Dad, but a proceeding in a court of law certainly can't have destroyed your love.
Not my love, no, but it has shaken my faith. She rejected Elwood, left his home, refused his love. And I'm sure if she were here instead of in Japan, that it would be she who would have filed the suit. She'll welcome her freedom from marriage. I'll warrant that Elwood isn't welcoming it. I'm sure he's an unhappy man tonight. Did you talk to him today?
I saw him for a few minutes after the hearing.
Yeah, what did he have to say?
Well, he was pretty cut up, all right. When he testified, the poor guy practically broke down a couple of times.
Yeah. I trust that when you notify Teddy about this, you will tell her that, Paul. I'm sure she can't be very proud of what she has done.
Dad, I have a letter here from Teddy. It came a couple of days ago, but I've been waiting to read it to you. I knew that this situation would be coming up, the divorce decree. I also anticipated your reaction to it, so I've been saving this. When you hear what she's doing in Japan, I think you'll say she has a lot to be proud of. This is a long letter. Jack, I'm sure you'll be interested in this, too, if you're in no hurry.
No, not at all. Go ahead, Paul.
She says, "Dear Paul, I've been transferred to the 279th General Hospital at Osaka, about 500 miles south of Tokyo. This move delayed my receipt of your letter. I suppose by the time you get this, the divorce proceedings will be over. I hope so."
Yes, exactly what I said a moment ago.
Yes, you've had your say, Dad. Suppose we hear from Teddy now.
Yes.
As he goes on, "I hope Father Barber didn't take it too hard. As I wrote you before, divorce is the only solution for Elwood and me. We have been so busy nursing the wounded from Korea that Elwood and my ill-starred marriage, which is now over, I presume, seems very remote and somehow unimportant in the face of what I'm experiencing here. Perhaps you can appreciate how it might if I tell you in some detail what we army nurses are seeing and doing. At this hospital, we get casualties direct from Korea. Most of our patients are either surgical or orthopedic. The morale of the duty personnel is very high, and that in turn has a good effect on the patients from Korea, all of whom come in exhausted and in varying degrees of filth. In fact, it takes about 3 baths before all the dirt comes off. Sometimes in our everyday personal problems, we forget our real purpose in joining the Army Nurse Corps, the real deep-down feminine reason that prompted us to go into nursing in the first place. It is intangible and hard to explain. Sometimes, Paul, I get terribly lonely and homesick and feel sorry for myself and wonder why I'm doing this. But something always happens to tell me why. You don't wonder long when a wounded boy reaches out and takes your hand and murmurs, "Thanks." You make a guy feel like his own mom was looking after him. And you don't wonder why you're here when you get letters like the one we got from a father of a patient the other day. He wrote in part, "My son is in your hospital wounded. He said he is being treated wonderfully. I really appreciate this. I want to explain to you that my son is only 18 years old now and has almost 3 years in the Army. I signed up for him. And I've never complained and won't. My sons are no better than any American to risk their lives in time of war. I'm sure you will understand our feelings. We want to see our boy, so please do what you can to rush him home. My wife is in poor health and almost hysterical, but I tell her that our son and all the other wounded are getting the finest care in the world. She knows that. It's just that she worries. Anyway, we want to thank you for all you've done for him. Thanks and good luck."
Yeah.
Boy.
There's more here if you'd like me to go on.
I wish you would, Paul.
Gosh, yes.
Okay. So, Paul, it's letters like that and the deep-down gratitude from the boys themselves which make us realize our real purpose and which keep us from dwelling on our own petty little worries. And then, of course, we're always so darn busy we don't have a great deal of time to think about ourselves. Just to show you that an Army nurse's life is anything but dull, I'll tell you about what happened when we first came down here. They were pushed for hospital beds, so on a Friday, they asked us to get ready to take patients, if possible, by Sunday. Since our equipment was just beginning to arrive, the whole unit set to work getting the hospital ready. We unloaded the equipment, unpacked it, distributed it to the wards and departments, cleaned the hospital wards and windows, shooed the Japanese nationals out from underfoot, fought with the autoclaves that were fuel-operated instead of electric or steam.
Huh? What are autoclaves?
Sterilizers, Dan.
Couldn't find the distilled water apparatus, cussed the engineers because they were not hospital-minded, lost the box of needles about the same time we discovered we would have to fold all the 4x4 and 4x8 gauze sponges before we could sterilize them, and on Monday took 25 patients from Korea, all about the same time. But it has been fun, and it isn't all work. A large Japanese department store is right next to the post exchange, and the nurses can have military script changed to yen at the PX and can go into the department store and buy Japanese-made goods. So now we are very luxurious with bedside lamps, toasters, coffee pots, and whatnot. I'll close now. I hope I haven't worn you out, Paul. I don't know why I wrote at such length, but I think I felt I must somehow justify my being here. A feeling that sprung from guilt, perhaps, because of the divorce and the fear that Father Barber might judge me harshly for deserting Elwood. But I hope time will take care of it, and I will take what solace I can in my work. And I hope to return home someday to a land still free and still wonderful. Love, Teddy.
I think I understand now what you meant, Paul.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Friends, depend on Alka-Seltzer when you need really effective relief from acid indigestion or a headache or both. That's something to remember over the weekend or whenever these common ailments threaten to cause discomfort. The bubbling, effervescent Alka-Seltzer helps relieve the distress of acid indigestion in a hurry. And Alka-Seltzer's wonderful pain-relieving ingredient gives soothing comfort to an aching head. Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer and always keep it handy to take whenever acid indigestion or a headache make you uncomfortable. Here's the family again.
Yes, yes. Good night, Paul.
Good night, Dad.
Thank you for reading me Teddy's letter. When you write, I would appreciate it if you would say that I sent her my love.
Remember, friends, when you burn yourself, bathe that burn with Bactine. Bactine, Bactine, the gentle, modern first aid treatment for burns, is soothing and cooling to the burned area of the skin. It reduces pain, and the germ-killing action of Bactine helps prevent infection and thus promotes healing. Get a 30 or 70-cent size bottle of Bactine at any drugstore. Keep that Bactine bottle handy. And when you burn yourself, bathe that burn with Bactine. And read the descriptive folder that comes with Bactine for its many, many other helpful uses in your home. Remember, Bactine, Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Monday, The Path of Love is Not Smooth. Chapter 16, Book 85. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.